Greetings and welcome to Bethany United Church of Christ in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, for this virtual worship service. The COVID-19 virus is indeed still with us, and I pray that you are safe and still practicing the guidelines of masks and distancing. The call for justice with voices of protest continues across our nation and world, as well as those proposals of change that are coming before our lawmakers. Last Sunday, about 20 of you came to be in front of Bethany Church to pray for peace and for an end to prejudice and violence. Some of you I know were praying at 2 o'clock from home, and I felt the power of that prayer. So let's all keep praying in this time. Today is Father's Day. I continue to say that parenting is the toughest job in the world, especially in these days where dad or mom or both may be out of work and the kids are home, and what are they to do? Well, here's the story for Father's Day. That's the story of a guy who stopped in the grocery store on the way home from work to pick up a couple of items for his family. He wandered around aimlessly for a while, searching out the needed groceries. As is often the case in the grocery store, he kept passing this same particular shopper in almost every aisle. It was another dad trying to shop with a totally uncooperative three-year-old in the cart. The first time they passed, the three-year-old was asking over and over for candy, of course. The observer couldn't hear the entire conversation. He just heard Dad say, "Now, Billy, this won't take long." Well, as they passed in the next aisle, the three-year-old's pleas had increased several octaves. Now Dad was quietly saying, "Billy, just calm down. We'll be done in a minute." When they passed near the dairy case, the kid was screaming by this time, uncontrollably. Dad was still keeping his cool. In a very low voice, he was saying, "Billy, settle down. We're almost out of here." The dad and his son reached the checkout counter just ahead of the observer. He still gave no evidence of losing control. The boy was screaming and kicking. Dad was very calmly saying over and over, "Billy, we'll be in the car in just a minute, and then everything will be okay." Well, the bystander was very impressed beyond words. After paying for his groceries, he hurried to catch up with this amazing example of patience and self-control, just in time to hear him say again, "Billy, we're done. It's going to be okay." He tapped the patient father on the shoulder and said, "Sir, I just couldn't help but watch how you handled your son, little Billy. You were amazing." And Dad replied, "His name is Wesley. I'm Billy." Back to my announcements. The Handbell Choir got together on Wednesday to rehearse, and that's great. I am away this week, your pastor, until Thursday of next week, visiting with my youngest son, Jonathan, and his family near Chicago. Pastor Tammy, who is the pastor at West End Moravian Church, will be covering pastoral emergencies. I do hope that you will attend one of the brainstorming sessions scheduled for next Saturday, June 27, or Sunday, June 28, at 10 a.m. in Fellowship Hall. Please come with your ideas for generating support for Bethany Church. Please call the church office also to RSVP so that we can prepare. We are back to worshiping together on Sunday, July 5 at 10 a.m. in the air-conditioned Fellowship Hall. We look forward to seeing all of you above your masks. I will be hosting a one-hour program on Tuesday nights this summer at 7 p.m. beginning Tuesday, July 7th. I'm calling it Stories, Scripture, and Prayer. I'm looking forward to sharing stories and hearing stories of this time of separation, and then connecting us to some scriptures and, of course, to have some time for prayer. It'll only be a one-hour session, but Tuesday nights over the summer beginning July 7th. And now let us worship together with the program. Join me now for the responsive call to worship. God knows each of us intimately and inwardly. Let us be ourselves before Him. God loves us as a father loves his own. God is saving us through the one Savior of the world. God fills us to overflowing with his Holy Spirit. Let us worship God. Please sing with me, Faith of Our Fathers. Sing with us, Faith of Our Fathers.
Like yours.
All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. And a reading from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, Romans 6, verses 1 through 11, which is also the text for today's message. What then are we to say? Should we continue to sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin, but if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And now the Gospel, Matthew, chapter 10, verses 24 through 39, which contains some of those hard sayings of Jesus. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law, her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Here are the readings of God's word to us this day. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When you and I read and study God's word in the New Testament letters of Paul, we need to remember that these are correspondences between the church in a particular place and circumstance and the Apostle Paul. Paul would receive word directly from someone or would hear about issues which he had to address. Here in the sixth chapter of Romans, as in many other letters, Paul seems to be carrying on this kind of argument against the kind of imaginary opponent, which, by the way, could be any one of us. The argument springs from the great saying at the end of chapter 5, where sin abounded, grace superabounded. It runs something like this. The objector says, Paul, you just said that God's grace is great enough to find forgiveness for every sin. Paul responds, that is so. The objector, you are in fact saying that God's grace is the most wonderful thing in all this world. Paul's response, that is so. The objector, well, if that is so, let us go on sinning. The more we sin, the more grace will abound. Sin doesn't matter, for God will forgive anyway. In fact, we can go further than that, say that sin is an excellent thing, because it gives the grace of God a chance to operate. The conclusion of your argument is that sin produces grace. Therefore, sin is bound to be a good thing if it produces the greatest thing in the world. Yes to the truth that we are saved by faith. An objector could retort, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be, shouts Paul. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Simply because the Lord has brought us out of the slave market of sin and set us free does not give us, you and me, a license to do whatever we want. Through faith, we have passed from the old management to a whole new management headed by Christ. The sinful nature that once ruled over us no longer has the power of authority to keep making directives in our lives. Christ has saved us, you and me, from sin's penalty and power. Therefore, it would be a gross perversion of divine grace for us to continue to live as if sin were still our master. Since we are dead to the power of sin, we need to live in light of that truth. But how? How can we gain control over a sinful nature that no longer has any right to rule over us, yet continues, right, to try to? These verses of Romans 6 explain how you and I, we can experience daily that victory over sin that we all need. First of all, we need to realize that some truths apply to all believers. We've been set free from sin through Christ's death and resurrection. This fact is conveyed in three images. The first one is baptism. The text reads, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into his death? This is speaking not of water baptism, but of spiritual baptism. The root idea here is a change of identification. One who is saved by faith is not identified with sin any longer, but has a newfound identification with Christ. Therefore, concludes Paul, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that we're in order that as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, views the entire history of the universe from an eternal perspective. Everything is forever present in God's sight. Thus, in the mind of God, when Christ died and rose from the dead, we who have trusted in Christ died and rose with him. As far as God is concerned, in Christ, we are now free from sin. The shackles of slavery have been broken for us. We've been made alive to God. We've been made alive to God through Christ's death and resurrection. Paul makes this point very clear. Now, if we who have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death is no longer master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Since you and I, we have become identified with Christ in his death and resurrection, we have died to the sin he was crucified for and have been resurrected to the life he rose to give us. This new life is empowered by God's Holy Spirit for the overcoming of sin in every phase of our lives. Well, what do we need? What do we need to consider? Since it's an established fact that we as believers have resurrection life and power, what do we need to do, or rather be? Paul answers us in these words, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The Greek term for consider means to calculate, take into account, to figure. Through the use of this word, Paul is telling us to continually take into account that sin is no longer our master, but Christ is. We now have new life in him, and through that life we have the power to refuse sin's enticements and commands forever. Therefore, writes Paul, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Well, what do we need to present? What do we need to present or to do? Up to this point, Paul has been dealing mainly with our self-concept. He has told us that we need to think of ourselves as under Christ's all-sufficient management. But what must we do to put this truth into practice? Paul exhorts us to plug into the power of God that provides this new management. Be Christ-like in what you think, say, and do. The best defense is a good offense. And so in summary, my friends, we have three great permanent truths. It is a terrible thing to seek to trade on the mercy of God and to make it an excuse for sinning. Think of it in human terms. How despicable it would be for a son to consider himself free to sin because he knew that his dad would forgive him. That would be taking advantage of love to break love's heart. Secondly, the person who strives to live the Christian life or the Christian way is committed to a different kind of life. He or she has died to one kind of life and has been born to another. In our day, we may have accepted the understanding that the Christian way is no different. Paul would proclaim that it ought to make all the difference in the world. For thirdly, there is more than an ethical change in one's heart. There is real identification with Christ. We cannot live our physical life without air. So it is in our spiritual life. Without Christ in us, we cannot live the life of God. Let us pray. Holy God, we struggle in our human condition of sin. And it is indeed a battle for us. Help us by your power to know that Christ has won that battle for us by his death and resurrection. By that victory, we can die to our sins and live in and for you. Empower us by your Holy Spirit, O God. we pray. Amen. And now it is our time to acknowledge the receiving of your gifts, your tithes to this church, and for your gifts to the world, wherever there is need, the sharing of what God has entrusted to you. We are indeed grateful for your generosity and for whatever you can give to help support the ministries of Bethany Church. And so, gracious God, giver of all good things, we are mindful of the many blessings you provide, even life itself. We ask your blessing on all offerings received in support of this church, and we ask your special blessing on the amazing gifts that are given to the many needs of this health crisis for your people here, near and far. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now I invite us to a time of prayer. I have a number of petitions, some that you've heard before we need to continue to pray for, and some that you have not heard. So let us be in a posture of prayer. We pray for all the suffering still with the COVID-19 virus. We would remember all who have lost loved ones. We would remember all those on the front lines battling this disease, particularly in nursing homes and care centers. We are mindful of all those who cannot be with family. We remember the millions of unemployed folk. We pray for all who are raising voices for justice, for all, as in our Pledge of Allegiance, in these days of turbulence and unrest. We pray for our governing officials, regarding law proposals and adoptions. We should remember our churches in these days, as many are looking to reopen in a whole new normal but safe way. We remember the sick of our congregation. I heard just this week of the loss, the death of a woman named Esther Borger Nelson. Esther Borger Nelson, who used to attend Bethany Church with her brother, Frank Borger. I remembered Frank from his work with the Penn Northeast Conference. So remember the family of Esther Borger Nelson. Also, I ask you to remember our conference minister, the Reverend Dr. Bonnie Bates, her husband Steve, who has multiple health issues and is living with their family, their son and family in North Carolina. Bonnie is up here doing ministry and cannot be with them, but particularly cannot be with him right now because he is hospitalized with the COVID virus. So we pray for Steve, Bonnie Bates' husband, as well as Bonnie in this time of separation. We remember all of our homebound members at Bethany and pray for God to comfort them and bless them. And so let us come to God now in prayer with the petitions of our own hearts and minds and needs. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we praise you for variety in our life experience, for changing times and seasons in our lives. We are especially now grateful for summer days when schedules change and life is more free from pressure. We are thankful for rest and relaxation, for vacations and times with family and friends. We thank you, O God, for the quiet moments of meditation in your presence. When we are filled with your presence and spirit, we are glad for the opportunity to take stock and to see all things in the perspective of faith in you. We bless you, O God, for the miracle of prayer. It is a wonder that we should speak and that you listen. We are amazed that you not only know our needs, but that you care about our concerns. We praise you, Almighty God, that you call us to serve you, using our time and talents to do so much more than we could ever do on our own. We find freedom in that service and joy in that sharing. All of us marvel at the wonders that you accomplish through us as instruments of your will. Speak through us, each one, the good news of your love. Let your kindness and mercy be reflected in all of our doings. Bind us together in a common bond of mutual service and care that reaches beyond ourselves. Be near to us now, O God, as we offer our prayers and praise to you. And then send us forth to serve you in newness of spirit and strength of conviction. These are prayers we make rejoicing in you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and who taught his disciples and all of us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, both now and forevermore.